Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, June 4th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. A church organization says Parliament has rejected its appeal to outlaw Zimbabwe's national pledge.
They are saying if we could give them the background of who is funding CVIZ so that they could consider the petition valid.
South African artists are set to release a play on Gugurahundi atrocities in Johannesburg.
We feel that it is our moral obligation as South Africans to advocate for our brothers who are in Zimbabwe.
And as usual, we'll focus on women's issues. Stay tuned. A church organization says Parliament has rejected its appeal to outlaw Zimbabwe's national pledge. Reverend Clement Zenda of Christian Voice International Zimbabwe says Parliament's response to their request to have the national pledge scrubbed is shocking.
They are saying we didn't necessarily meet the required standard for the petition to be debated in Parliament.
So what does that mean?
Yeah, probably they are saying we should add those prerequisites that they want, especially some kind of the standards of our organization. That's what they are specifically mentioning.
So what are they saying about your standards?
Well, they are saying if we could give them the background of who is funding CVIZ so that they could consider the petition valid.
Have you actually reacted to their request?
No, not at all. We haven't reacted because this organization is wholly funded by its members, meaning the Christian community in Zimbabwe.
And now, looking at the petition that you sent, really, what exactly were you demanding?
Okay, on the petition, we didn't mince our words. The petition is written away with the national pledge because we were not consulted enough when that pledge was introduced or imposed upon our children.
What did you want Parliament to do?
Okay, we want Parliament to debate that because we are not sure whether that thing went through a full parliamentary process, because it is ultra vires. It is against the constitution. It is against our freedom of conscience and worship in Zimbabwe. So we wonder how it may have sailed through Parliament, if ever it did.
So at the end of the day, do you think that Parliament can actually come out with a law to block the national pledge?
They should, because this national pledge was imposed upon us with impunity.
That was Clement Zenda of the Christian Voice International speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. Speaker of Parliament Jacob Ntenda was not available for comment. Gugurahundi atrocities that reportedly claimed the lives of over 20,000 people in the Midlands and Matabeleland provinces between 1983 and 1987 have attracted a group of young South Africans who are set to dramatize the events in a play entitled Uloyiko or Fear Us at Hillbrow Theatre in Johannesburg on June 25th this month. The group, which has since launched a fund appeal to cover expenses for the play, says the purpose of it is to, quote, get the voices of the dead victims that are crying for help beyond their indecent graves and the voices of the surviving traumatized victims to be heard, end quote. Scriptwriter Yanga Mhluzi tells reporter Stanikile Mhlanga that historical ties between Matabeleland and South Africa compelled the group to stage the play.
We felt that it is our moral obligation as South Africans to advocate for our brothers in Zimbabwe. Hence, Zimbabweans, mostly Ndebele, with the leadership of Rigomo, they contributed in fighting apartheid in South Africa through the Zimbabwean army because they were in partnership with Umkhonto. So we felt that, okay, now they're in protest. So it is our chance to show ubuntu and help them in fighting this. We see this as a tribalism. So we want to stop this and advocate and expose the evil of tribalism done by Kukurahundi soldiers to our people in Matabelele and Zimbabwe.
How did you research about this Kukurahundi issue to ensure you come up with the facts?
I, as a scripty writer, I have interest in history. So I go to different websites. Firstly, I saw this Kukurahundi thing in Bulawayo News 24. I saw one article. So that article gave me interest in researching more on what is Kukurahundi and what is Kukurahundi responsible of doing and what is Kukurahundi doing to our people. So I found the information through the internet and reading some books and listening to music and some poets that are writing with the Kukurahundi and the genocide in Zimbabwe.
Are you in touch with Zimbabweans living in South Africa, and do they have an input in the play?
We are quite having a very good relationship with citizens from Zimbabwe whom are in South Africa and around the world. We are chatting via emails, WhatsApp, phone calls and SMS. We chat almost each and every day. They give their testimonials, they advise us in some stuff.
That was scriptwriter Yanga Mhluzi of the group Sipesake Youth Organization on the line from Cape Town in South Africa. In our usual Girls, Youth and Development show, this evening we have Nyaradzo Mashawamambe, Director of Take a Life International, and gender activist Tariro Mute. They are focusing on remarks allegedly made by a senior ZANU-PF official and lawmaker who is quoted by some media outlets as saying, at times women are to blame for being raped.
I do think that she was trying to say that women have to dress properly so that they don't attract men. But the question is, are all rape cases attracted by dressing, and is dressing justifiable for women to be married? What happened to freedom of dressing?
Can you come in there, Darido?
We are actually disappointed by those utterances. You know, Maroka is an MP for Rongo East. We look up to people like her. They're supposed to protect us. But when she utters such reckless statements in public, it leaves us to wonder if they really care about the rights of the young women and girls. You know what? It's not about dressing that can perpetuate rape. She justified rape, and she said that women should wear long dresses and should not wear short dresses. So we asked her a question in the statement that she wrote to the Daily News, asking her that are diapers ministers? Because we have cases of children being raped each and every day. But Maoka said that you should wear long dresses so that she cannot be raped.
So I do remember that Vice President Honorable Mnangagwa at one point said women should be allowed to wear what they want. And the freedom that this country has is also for women, the freedom of dressing. And also I remember at one point I was on record saying, we do see men always wearing, you know, walking around with their chests bare, and women never, you know, go to men and start harassing them. What? How does that all fit with the issues of freedom of movement, freedom of dressing, the rights, you know, all the legality as well as a member of parliament who's supposed to be promoting legality issues, and we see her seeming to be promoting criminalism.
What's your response to that, Darido?
I think that, you know, members of parliament, most of them are confused about the laws. They don't know the laws. They should just sit down in parliament and discuss some of these issues about the rights of women. Because if one of them says one thing and the other one says the other thing, then you tend to wonder if they really discuss these matters. So there should be a law, and they should be guided to these things. Because most of the laws in Zimbabwe, they're not really aligned or tally. One law is saying this, and another law is saying that. We can give an example.
But the issues of violence, Tari, before we even go to the alignment of laws, just the issue of a member of parliament promoting violence, and because violence against anybody is criminal, or violence against any person can never be justified no matter what. Even if somebody got robbed and they got stripped, are we saying the men should jump ahead and rape that and it's okay? Because the member of parliament is saying women should dress, wear long dresses and actually be raped properly in long dresses.
You know what, those statements can actually perpetuate violence against women.
That was Nyaratso Mashamombe, director of Take a Life International, an organization fighting for the rights of girls and women, and gender activist Dariro Mute. When unable to get a comment from Sarah Mahoka, a ZANU-PF lawmaker who was said to be busy attending to party issues. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Combating air pollution in North India was the focus of a recent workshop in Lucknow, India, conducted by the U.S. Embassy. The program was part of a series of workshops held in New Delhi, Chandigarh, Jaipur, and Lucknow last month. The workshops are organized by the RTI International in collaboration with the Indian Institute of Technology, Delhi, and support President Barack Obama and Prime Minister Modi's commitment to disseminate information on air quality to city dwellers so that they can take action to reduce their exposure to harmful air pollution and to enable policymakers to implement strategies that reduce air pollution in cities. The objective of these workshops was to provide a forum to initiate and strengthen collaboration between U.S. and Indian air quality experts, consider best practices to combat air pollution in North India, and build consensus and strategy for follow-on action. About a dozen U.S. policymakers, world-renowned scientists, and industry sector experts participated. The workshops included presentations on the health effects of air pollution, impact from industry and their mitigation efforts, and air quality management through policy. Others focused mostly on group discussions and breakout sessions and ended with a panel discussion aimed at developing a workable strategy for tackling air pollution in North India. Jonathan Kessler, Director, North India Office, U.S. Embassy, New Delhi, opened the proceedings in Lucknow. He said, in countries like the United States and India, action comes when people understand the level of pollution they are exposed to and the health effects that result. For someone who cares about air pollution, the past few years have been an exciting time in this country. The United States is proud to partner with India in promoting cleaner air for India, the South Asia region, and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mshanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we're gladly joined by Linda Masarira of Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, who, with other activists like the Zimbabwe Activist Alliance, are staging a protest where for 16 days they will be occupying Africa Unity Square. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Ms. Masarira.
Thank you very much.
Tell us, what motivated you to start this protest?
I am not immune to the problems that Zimbabweans are facing. You know, sometimes when people look at us, they think that our lives are rosy as activists. But we're also facing challenges. The main challenge that has moved me to come and sleep in the cold is that my children have been chucked out of school. My children are not going to school. And I said to myself, if I keep quiet, what happens to me? I got fired from NRZ last year. They haven't given me my money. I've got nowhere to start. There are no jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'm saying to myself, if I just keep quiet and sit back, am I building or destroying my children's lives? And I say, God, give me courage. Why don't I use the courage that I have for the benefit of other Zimbabweans who are voiceless? We have been staying in Africa Union Square for the past days. It really hasn't been easy. It's winter time, it's cold and all, but we have our grievances, which we have realized that we really have to take action so that the government can address these issues that are affecting the average Zimbabwean. You realize that the average Zimbabwean is living a very deplorable life. Basically, no medication in hospitals. There are no jobs. There's no cash in the bank. And the cost of our basic commodities is slowly rising again. So these are situations where we sat down as activists and say to ourselves, we are heading back to 2008, and everyone is just quiet. What do we do to reshape our destiny so that we don't go into that critical situation again where we will suffer? And then we decided that we have to make our demands heard and demand answers from the government of Zimbabwe, which has disciplinarily failed to cater for the welfare of Zimbabwe.
But we saw a similar protest by activist Itai Dzamara Polter when he was abducted. Are you not scared for your lives?
We are not scared. scared? Why should we be scared of freedom? Because we are suffering and we have had enough of suffering. You realize that the majority of Zimbabweans are not working. They are unemployed. They are living in misery. They are living a life of hopelessness and helplessness. That is why suicide issues are on the rise in Zimbabwe right now. People just cannot stand this life anymore. And we are saying to ourselves, if we keep quiet, are we doing justice to ourselves? Are we doing justice to the next generation? Are we doing justice to our children? We can no longer keep silent when the government and the elite keep on looting money from our banks and our system by their corrupt activities, which are reported in the media every day. Whilst the average Zimbabwean is suffering, many school children failed to register for ordinary level exams this year because their parents are either not working, or if they are working, they don't access money from their employer because the employer has been paying salaries, or there is no money in the banks. We are facing a situation where this current youth generation is a lost generation because there's no hope. There are no jobs in this country. We have to get to a stage where we engage this government so that they tell us the way forward and where we are going as a country.
And then after the 16 days of occupation, what next?
What we're doing right now, we're drafting a petition to the government of Zimbabwe. Their response to our petition is what will determine our next move.
Are you facing any challenges as you try to make your views be heard?
The challenges we're facing is that it's really cold, considering that it's winter. And the other challenge we're facing is that the city council, which is failing to provide water in high-density areas from the days we started occupying Africa Unity Square, so they are actually watering this place with more than 200 liters of water a day. They're practically flooding the place so that it's always moist. And that scenario, in the early hours of the morning, it's really cold in here. And when we occupied this place, we had contributed money for food and firewood and all, and we are now practically running out of money because this is an initiative that we started trying to raise our concerns on behalf of all Zimbabweans, because we realize that we can no longer keep on living in black oppression in our own country, which claims to be a democratic state, yet the masses are suffering. This is a fight for justice, political and economic justice. We have to join hands and fight together for a better Zimbabwe, a Zimbabwe we want, a Zimbabwe we are free and happy, a Zimbabwe that we are comfortable, where we do not live in destitution and abject poverty. I'm also appealing to other civic organizations to come and join hands so that we can make a bold statement to the government of Zimbabwe that it has failed. We need solutions now.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Linda Masarira of the Zimbabwe Women in Politics Alliance, for having been our guest here on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. That's the music of Solomon Skuza coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap today's top stories. A church organization says Parliament has rejected its appeal to outlaw Zimbabwe's national pledge. And a South African group is set to release a play on Kukurahundi atrocities. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.